children to their classes, Sunday school classes. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. Amen. I'd like you to turn to James, the fourth chapter. Familiar scripture for most of us. James chapter 4 and verse number 8. It simply says, draw nigh or near to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so what God is saying, he's giving us a promise here. If you want to get closer to God, all you have to do is ask God to get closer to you. Amen. Amen. He will. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. And then if you turn to Matthew, the 17th chapter. I used the scripture yesterday morning at prayer. And I went home and I could not get beyond it. And God showed me something that I've been weeping about all yesterday and this morning. I've never heard anyone address this subject before, but I really feel it's paramount in each and every one of our lives. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 1, it says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Or we're going to take these three, set them apart, we're going up to a high mountain. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them. The same Jesus that touched you this morning touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing upon your word that, Lord, it would extend from this pulpit to every ear and to every heart, that it would change us and give us more information about this great God of heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. The question is, why did Jesus invite Peter, James, and John to come with him to a high mountain apart? What was it about Peter, James, and John that singled them out, if you will? Now, Jesus gathered thousands of people over 3.5 years in his ministry. They heard his teaching. They experienced the miraculous. They became what the Bible calls disciples. And I want you to see this. In the Greek, the word disciple means pupil or learners. So that's what a disciple is. Each and every one of us had to be a disciple in order to come into the church. The church being the ecclesia or the called out ones. They heard Jesus teaching and experienced the miraculous. He healed them, delivered them from demons and dependencies of their flesh, opened their eyes, did all of these miracles for these disciples. So they followed him to a certain point, to a level of commitment. Then Jesus had apostles, the 12, who were set apart from the disciples. Now, the important significance is the word apostle in the Greek means sent out and set apart officially commissioned as ambassadors, endued with power, miraculous power. So the distinction between the disciple and the apostle is, well, they were commissioned, if you will. They were set apart. They were endued with power in order to perform the same miracles that Jesus performed. Paul was also called to be an apostle. In Romans 1 and 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So the apostles are just pupils or learners of Jesus, but then they are separated unto the gospel, which according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is the death, burial, and the resurrection. So we all come in as learners, and then when we're separated onto the gospels, we have been baptized in Jesus' name, repented, and filled with the Holy Ghost. According to the scriptures, we become an apostle. Now, you don't go around saying, I'm an apostle of the Lord, and some people might get the wrong idea that we're kind of elevating ourselves up. But through study, there is no question in my mind. So when we are have our own death, our own burial, our own resurrection, well, then we transfer from being a disciple to an apostle, sent out as ambassadors. And that's what the Bible says. We are ambassadors of Christ. Set apart, absolutely. Set apart because we have the name of Jesus upon us. And endued with great miraculous power, we have laid hands on people. They have been filled with the Holy Ghost. They have been healed. There are great miracles in the church, as it should be. I declare this morning, I am an apostle. And each of you who have had that experience of separation, Peter, James, John, come on up. Apart from the other nine and experience something miraculous, a transfiguration, if you will, a light that's incredible. Don't be shy. God said it. Amen. I mean, some people, after they're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, feel like they have to sit on a pew for 6 or 7 years before they ever have the authority, when God says, you've got the authority right now. Hallelujah. Now, there are thousands of people this morning sitting on pews throughout the entire world in various denominations that are hearing God's word and even being fed by the word of God. They all have the potential to become apostles, if you will. Most of us made the transition from disciple to apostle. We are in good company because Paul also was a great student of God's word. I mean, he was a Pharisee. He counted every letter of the word, if you will. But there came a day when he was knocked down by a bright light, just like Peter, James, and John saw the bright light on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then he said, who art thou, Lord? When you get to that place where you really want to know who God is, if you're looking for a name, not just looking for Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, when you want to know, are you really personally involved in my life? Well, get ready for transformation. God was about to transition his status from disciple to apostle because Paul asked the right question. Who art thou, Lord? When you want to know who God really is, get ready. Paul then became the greatest of all of the apostles, even though he at one time persecuted the church. I mean, even though he was a student of the word, he didn't have the full truth. He was still a disciple, if you will. However, Paul himself didn't feel that he was a great apostle. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, he said, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now, each and every one of you sitting here are thinking to yourself, how in the world could I be an apostle? I am not worthy. God knows me better than I know myself. He sees all the flaws, the character problems, you see. But you don't understand. You have been set apart. You have been taken to a higher place. You have been endued with power. I spent months in New York City training to be a claims adjuster a couple years ago. When I got back to the Milwaukee office, they gave me a briefcase with a stack of checks, a company car, and they said, all right, go out and adjust all of these claims. And I thought to myself, I don't know how to do what I'm supposed to do. And one of these days, they're going to find out that I don't know anything. And then I'm going to be fired. You know. But every day was a new experience. How do I adjust a fall down claim, an auto accident, a fire, a food poisoning claim? All of those compile to make experiences. So eventually, you understand what you're doing, and you have confidence that you can do it. You walk in here, you don't know a whole lot about God. You've heard all of the stories. But one by one, God gives you experiences, you see. He gives you testimonies of what can God do through you, you see. You see, most of us all feel exactly the same way. We don't feel that we're qualified to be an apostle, but we are not self-appointed apostles. I am not a self-appointed pastor. You're not a self-appointed saint of God, but you have obeyed the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of your obedience, you are then promoted from just a pupil, someone who sits on the pew and hears, to somebody who has advanced their membership in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you are wondering who are the true believers, well, there are signs. Signs that you left the ranks of the pupil, left the ranks of a disciple, and joined the ranks of an apostle. Amen. This is not a strange doctrine. This is church. This is Bible. Would you turn to Mark, the 16th chapter? One of the greatest evidences that Jesus gave us was just before he was about to ascend up into heaven. Mark 16, verse number 15, his last words, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you can't preach the gospel until you've obeyed the gospel. And again, the gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection. We have our own death, burial, and resurrection when we die in repentance, buried in baptism, and are filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So baptism saves us. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. These are the signs. These are the evidences of an apostle, if you will. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. We've got the signs. Who's the true believer? Jesus said you'll be able to identify them very easily because, well, they'll have power. Amen. There will be signs, and I'm grateful for the substantiation, if you will, of who we really are. God is constantly wanting to confirm we are the real deal with signs following, and we profess the truth, and God confirms the truth. Acts 5 and 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord." And so he was confirming that these men were the real deal. They were the apostles. Acts 8 and 18 says, "Through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given." How's that for a confirmation of we are the real deal? Do we or do we not experience that same power that the apostles experienced in the Bible? We can't just revert back to being a disciple. Once you have been promoted to the apostleship, if you will, I know this is hard for some to swallow that you even have a title such as an apostle, but once we get to that place, we've been separated by the gospel, we can revert back to being a disciple, sitting on the pew, hearing the word, being a pupil, being a learner, but not a doer. When God has called us and ordained us to be in a higher position. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble are called." But he's taken the weak things to confound that which is mighty. He's allowed us to have signs that the rest of the world doesn't understand, will not accept, and you see your calling. There aren't that many who are serving God because of their wisdom or because of their knowledge. So it's not about our ability. It's not about our status in life. It's because we have responded to the foolishness of preaching. We have responded to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are plenty of people who tell you this isn't necessary and that isn't necessary, but that's contrary to what the Word of God says. Except a man is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Please let us not revert back to disciples just sitting on a pew. When you've already experienced the promotion to learn one more story about Christ, not feeling qualified to use the power and the position that God has put us in. Paul warns about this. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Second Timothy chapter 3, which is so relevant to us today. If you listen to the news, you read it in the Dead Tree paper. Verse number 1 of that third chapter says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves," right? "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent or immoral, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, even going to church, going through the traditions or the routine, but denying the power thereof." God heals, God transforms, God can deliver from such turn away. "Or of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts." And here's what I want you to see in the end times: "ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth." They're disciples, but they are not apostles. They haven't been promoted, if you will. Don't be satisfied with what we read about the early church. We are the early church. We have power in order to deliver those who are outside of the church. Turn to Acts, the 19th chapter, please. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. All right? Here are people who are pupils, if you will, of Christ, learners, probably heard many of the messages that Jesus preached. Verse 2, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So in other words, you don't get the Holy Ghost simply because you were a pupil or a disciple. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. In other words, here are disciples, they're pupils, they're learners, and they don't know about the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not putting down disciples. Thank God that each and every one of us wanted to learn more about the Word of God. Hallelujah. But we had to transition from being a disciple to being an apostle, if you will. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So his doctrine was, accept the Lord as your Savior. And they were still at that level of disciples. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all of the men were about 12. If you went on, you'll find that the whole world was completely converted in 2 years by these 12 men who used to be disciples, and now they have the power of an apostle. Hallelujah. You're awfully quiet. If you'll turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice that first he gave apostles. And out of those apostles came prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, as people transitioned from being a disciple or a learner of God and were separated by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God's got even more promotions. You can become a prophet of God. You can be used in the gifts of the Spirit. You can become an evangelist or pastor or a teacher. But first, he gave some apostles. Hallelujah. Making apostles out of disciples. Amen. At first. Amen. Okay, so we have disciples and then we have apostles. But in our scripture text, Jesus didn't ask the disciples to come up to a high mountain. Or even, for that matter, all of his apostles, the 12. There was an inner circle of those Jesus chose to experience his transfiguration. There was a higher level for those who had a greater appetite for a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus. It was Peter, James, and John, the three apostles that he took into a high mountain apart or privately and set apart to experience what the other nine apostles did not have privilege in order to experience or see. Peter, James, and John were not satisfied with the status quo. They were not satisfied just being obedient to the Word of God. Okay, I got my salvation. I'm just going to hang on until I hear the trumpet. No, I want to go deeper with you. I want to have more revelation. I want to have an excitement, you see. And that's why Peter said, it's good to be here, God. You see, it's the apostles who want a deeper relationship and a greater revelation of God, who say, get me to God, get me to church. It's good to be here this morning, isn't it? If you had to drag your carcass here, maybe you're still at a different level where you need to get to the place where you are like Peter, say, hey, let's just stay here forever. This is good. Let's build some tabernacles. These three were looking for a deeper relationship and revelation from Jesus. And when anyone displays that kind of desire, get ready for a response. One of our greatest enemies is apathy. Okay, I came to church. Okay, I sat through the preaching. I sat through the song service. It was good. I think I learned something from that. And then they wait for the next lunch, you know. Is it Sunday night, Wednesday? Or maybe they're satisfied until next Sunday. Never going home and eating for themselves, never searching out something. I'm in the most wonderful position in the world because I'm forced to dig into the Word of God. And I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of my den with tears streaming down my face because I've seen something, because of digging into the Word of God, because I wanted to know more. I want to know you, Jesus, like perhaps nobody else knows you, Jesus. And I know you'll take me down that path if I'm not satisfied with the status quo. Amen. Above all, God wants to reveal himself to those who really want to know him. Amen. Amen. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter? Second Corinthians 12, familiar scripture for me. I've read it over and over and over again over the years. This is Paul, and he's describing his experience with God because he didn't want to stay at the same level of, okay, I've got it all now, and, you know, I'm satisfied. Verse number one says, It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Thank God. Amen. And then he doesn't want to personalize it, so he talks about himself in the third party. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. So he's saying, you know, God put me in this situation where I don't know if I physically went up to the third heaven or it was just a trance, a vision that God has shown me. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up or lifted up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities or weakness. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. We don't walk out of here this morning declaring to people, I'm an apostle, you know. It's not a badge that we wear. It's not something, even though God has shown us and God has taken us to revelation that most everybody in the entire world has not seen. Most of us have seen the miraculous, the healing, the deliverance, the great moves of God. God has touched us to a point where time has stood still. And we don't brag about those things, but we have that experience that takes us through the situations that we have to cope with. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. When Jesus perceived this in Peter, James, and John, he responded by, and in my paraphrase, you three, come with me. We're going on a field trip. And when people get into a service like this, And God perceives that you want more depth of understanding. You want a deeper relationship. He's saying, come on. We're going on a field trip. We might be going 10,000 miles up. I'll bring you back. But you're going to experience something like you have never experienced. Tradition says that when Paul was put to death, he literally ran to the chopping block. You know why? Because God pulled back the curtain of heaven, showed him things that were unspeakable. When you have that kind of experience with God, your faith will never be shaken. Hallelujah. Jesus allowed them to visually see Moses and Elijah, who represent the law and the prophets. And that law and prophets were fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. That's you, okay? You want more? Watch. I'm going to bring Moses and Elijah here. You know who Moses is. He's the one who is the giver of the law. You know the prophet Elijah. He has more miracles than anybody else. And you want some more depth? Let me show you that I am the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Talk about revelation. And in front of him, he's got a God that's glowing like a light. Could it be that this is where Peter got the revelation of, you art the Christ, the Son of the living God in Matthew 16. Nobody else knew, but Peter said, you're him. Amen. Was that what caused John to be known as the one that loved Jesus, was touching him because he had this depth of understanding up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Was that the reason that Jesus instructed John to take care of his mother after he is gone? You take care of her. Was that the reason that John was spared a horrible death and went to the Isle of Patmos and got all of the revelation that we see in the book of Revelation? Because he had a greater desire, a depth of understanding. And God says, field trip, come on, you're coming with me. Hallelujah. After the encounter in verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I said this yesterday morning. You know, how much of God do you want? When you get here, and there are probably 150 people here yesterday morning, we're saying, Lord, it's good that we're here. Listen, if we ever want to be in that inner circle of apostles, then we need to display that kind of feeling, God, it's good that we're in church. If you feel that way, you're a part of the select few that Jesus takes to a higher place. I think the reason people don't continue to live for God is they settle for a lower status in the church. Revert back to just being a pupil. Hear the words, you know, involved in a song service, but never get to the place where they're ambassadors, where they're endued with power in order to go out and touch somebody else with their life. The disciples that were there just to hear the preaching and experience the miraculous all scattered when Jesus went to trial and went to the cross. Thousands and thousands of people who were healed experienced all of this, but never made a real commitment. Well, when Jesus went through his trial and the cross, they were gone. Today, if people are just here for a sermon and a little song service, when trouble comes in their life, they too will scatter. Even the majority of his apostles left him when Jesus needed them the most. But when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, or James and John. when he needed faithful people. He knew there were three who had already had the experience, who had already transitioned. Are there some of us that Jesus just wants to spend more time with and share his burden with? I believe it. I really do. I especially like what it says in verse 7 of Matthew 17 when they were afraid because of the transfiguration and the seeing Moses and Elijah. Verse 7 says, "And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid." I'm thankful Sunday mornings walk in here and I know that Jesus, the same Jesus, comes and touches us. Amen. Maybe we're afraid of what's going to happen this week. Maybe we have situations that we don't know what to do, how to cope with it. We don't have answers, and Jesus comes and touches us like he did the three. There are real benefits of pushing into a closer relationship with God because there's such security, there's such comfort, there's such peace in going beyond, going the extra mile with God. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest, Shabbat or Sabbath, peace and calm. Come on to me. Amen. You're looking for peace. You're looking for help. You're looking for answers. Come on to me. Amen. I am your Sabbath. Amen. So here's the choice. Just be satisfied being a disciple, a learner, a pupil, or advance like Paul did in Romans 1 and 1, "I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle." Some think that there's a limitation. Some think perhaps it's only those who actually saw Christ who could become the apostle, but there's nothing in the scriptures that identifies an apostle as someone who actually saw Jesus. He said, "I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle." How? Separated unto the gospel of God. Every one of us who have obeyed Acts 2 and 38, who got to that place where we said, "Lord, I don't know what you can do with this life, but I'm turning it over to you, and I want a fresh start. I want to walk into the waters of baptism and have my sins completely washed away and forgotten by you, and I want that resurrecting power in my life, and I want to go forth teaching all nations." Pupils don't go teaching nations. Learners don't. But apostles become prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And yet we can stop at that point without really getting close to Jesus. It's our choice. But I, for one, want to get to that place where Peter, James, and John got to. Not satisfied with just being a part of the club. And I'm telling you, there's a spirit that prevails today that we join a church. And then when we get their name on the roll, that we can identify that we're a part of the same club. God's not looking for a club. He's looking for a bride. He's looking for somebody who will make a full commitment. I want God to take me to that high mountain apart. Maybe all by myself from time to time. When I get to the place where Paul was so low, where those who were in jail because of preaching the gospel, that not only did they understand and trust God, but they sang songs in the process. In fact, God makes each of us an invitation every time we come before him in order to become a Peter, James, and John. Or you can be what you want to be. But like the Marines say, be all you can be and join God's army. James 4 and 8, draw nigh or near to God, and he will draw near or nigh to you. Isaiah 56 and 6, 55 and 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I walked into my first Pentecostal service. My upper lip started to quiver. I felt like someone was squeezing the top of my head. I was the kind of guy who never cried about anything. My wife had never seen me cry ever in my life. I was raised in a generation where you're a man, you don't show emotion at all, and tears are streaming down my face. And I could have just walked out and said, that was a good experience, and never gone further. How many people go to Bible studies ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth? And they're miserable because they've got information, but they don't have experience. You can't sit here this morning, get information, and not have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, because those are the donuts. Those are the rewards. No, God's not finished yet, but there are some rewards for you. Church, God is in this place this morning. His presence is in here. His invitation has been sent out. The reason you're here is not because you decided, but God extended an invitation to you and you responded. So it's your choice. It's your move. I'm not just talking to visitors here. I'm talking to people who have been around for 30, 40 years. It's your choice. Are you going to sit there? Do you want more of God? Come on, we're going on a field trip. We're going to go a little higher. God's got something more for you. How can you be sustained on one little message on a Sunday morning? Do you want to become a Peter, James, or John? Would you like an experience as Paul had, caught up to the third heaven, to the point nothing could ever shake your faith, because God has taken you to a level that most, I know a man in the body or out of body, I don't know, but I'll tell you what I know of what God has done. There's hardly a Sunday that goes by that somebody doesn't walk up to me and say, Pastor, during the song service, God gave me a vision of angels in this place, or a bright light coming down, or a cloud that is over this altar. It was just so incredible. You know, those are the people who want to go to the high place that God has for them. And God is happy to do that, to give you the vision, to give you an experience that you have never had before. But we can't become complacent. Oh, that's good for you. I'm so happy for you. He's not a respecter of persons. Amen. If he can take a man who persecuted the church and laid his coat down at the first martyr, Stephen, how much, but he had zeal, you see. Peter outran John to the grave, but they both went in. Hallelujah. It's your choice. God's handing out promotions like mad. He wants more apostles, not just pupils. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. The altar's open. Would you come?